Stay tuned for the power of Pentecost. I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. From Mount Vernon, Illinois, I am Pastor Dennis Myers, and Sister Linda's at the piano, and we welcome you to a 30-minute worship service known as the Power of Pentecost, a time of refreshing in the presence of the Lord, a time you can join with us in congregational singing, a great concert prayer, and in the study of God's Word. Let's sing now. Let's begin worshiping Him. I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I've got on the righteousness of God, and I'm gonna win every battle that I fight. I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Oh yes, I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I've got on the righteousness of God, and I'm gonna win every battle that I fight. I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And oh, how I enjoy singing that and knowing that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And if we will just wait upon Him, we shall renew our strength. Hallelujah. I'm glad to be a part of a great army, a people that know their God. The Bible says they shall be strong and do exploits. Jesus even said, greater things than this shall you do, because I go to my Father. And we know that He's went to His Father, because just a few days after He went away, on the day of Pentecost, in the upper room, the Holy Ghost came and baptized all of them. Jesus had said, I will pray to the Father, and He will send you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. We have the promise and consolation that the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Ghost, is with us. We are not alone as we await the soon return of Jesus. It's an exciting time for the saints of God. We invite you to come along and go with us. Let's turn to the Word of God to begin today's broadcast. Psalms 34:18. David said, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. What a wonderful way to start this service today. Well, I guess you can tell that I'm enthused and I'm excited to be with you. And I trust that you will share that enthusiasm and that excitement as we worship the Lord together. Just a little while, have your notepad and pencil ready for contact information and your Bible open to John chapter 6. Well, we're going to the best love songs and hymns hymnal, page 199, Just a Little Talk with Jesus. Sing it with us.
I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. And then a little light from heaven filled my soul. It bathed my heart in love, and it wrote my name above. And just a little talk with Jesus made me whole.
Now let us
have a little talk with Jesus.
Oh, let us
tell Him all about our troubles.
He will
hear our faintest cries,
and He will
answer by and by.
Now when you feel a little prayer will turning, and you know a little fire is burning, you'll find a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
Sometimes my path seems drear without a ray of cheer. And then a cloud of doubt may hide the light of day. The mists of sin may rise and hide the starry skies, but just a little talk with Jesus clears the way.
Now let us
have a little talk with Jesus.
Oh, let us
tell him all about our troubles.
He will
hear our faintest cry,
and he will
answer by and by.
Now when you feel a little prayer returning,
and
you know a little fire is burning, you'll find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Hallelujah. I may have doubts and fears, my eyes be filled with tears, but Jesus is a friend who watches day and night. I go to him in prayer, and he knows my every care, and just a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
Now let us
have a little talk with Jesus.
Oh, let us
tell him all about our troubles.
He will
hear our faintest cry,
and he will
answer by and by.
Now when you feel a little prayer returning,
and you
know a little fire is burning, you'll find a little talk with Jesus
makes it right. I said,
all right,
all right,
all right,
all right, all right.
And just a little talk with Jesus
makes it right.
All right, I said,
all right,
all right,
all right,
all right.
And just a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
Now let us
have a little talk with Jesus.
Oh, let us
tell him all about our troubles.
He will
hear our faintest cry,
and he will
answer by and by.
Now when you feel a little prayer returning,
and
you know a little fire is burning, you'll find a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
Hallelujah. Well, sometimes that's all it takes, is just a little talk with Jesus. There have been times in my life when it felt good just to sit down and have a little talk with someone about a situation. It made me feel better, and it seems like when we talked it out, it made the situation much better, or even resolved it if necessary. So it certainly doesn't hurt to have a little talk with Jesus. I've seen the time when people were a little reluctant about going to the altar at the end of the service or at church because some people would be suspicious, and if they saw them at the altar, they'd wonder what sin they had committed or what was wrong. I want you to know, friend, just because you go to the altar at church doesn't necessarily mean that you've sinned or that there's anything wrong. It just may mean that they need to have a little talk with Jesus. So, you know, why don't you just get down there with them and have a little talk with Jesus too? A little talk with Jesus makes it right. So let's not be overly suspicious. Let's not have the gift of suspicion. Let's have the gifts of the Spirit operating in our services. Our precious promise today before we pray comes from 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. He says, "The Lord seeth not as a man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." Wonderful verse of Scripture, often misquoted and often misunderstood, but we appreciate the Word of God. Let's pray today, and you know, let's just pray for those that need to have a little talk with Jesus. That's what we're going to pray about. And if you're in this audience today and you need to have a little talk with Jesus about anything, or you just want to spend some time with him, join with us in this prayer. Father, we're so thankful today that you do look on our hearts, and you see what's in our hearts, and you see what's surrounding our hearts. And Lord, you see the interest of our hearts, You see the desires of our heart. Lord, you just know all about us. And we're so glad, Lord, Dottie Rambo wrote the song, I Just Came to Talk with You, Lord. And sometimes we just need to have a little talk with Jesus, or we just need to come and talk to you a while. And Lord, I've experienced that in my own life numerous times because no one understands like Jesus. I'm thankful, Lord, that when I do come, you always have time for me. Lord, you always have your eyes upon me. You always have your ears open to my cry. You're waiting to hear my faintest cry. Lord, whether I'm in distress or whether I'm in perplexity or whether I'm in sickness or where there's nothing necessarily wrong, I'm glad, Lord, that when I come to you in Jesus' name, Lord, that you're there. Lord, you love the prayers of your people. And we know, Father, that you're waiting to intercede to God for us. Have your way, I pray. Each one that's praying with us today, Lord, some may have requests they're mentioning, and wonderful if it is. I know you, Lord, you want to hear those requests. Others are just having a little talk with Jesus. But Lord, no matter how the prayers are going up just now, Lord, from this pulpit here in Mount Vernon, Illinois, to the farthest away, no matter the time or day, hear those prayers, honor those requests, meet those needs. Let each one know, Lord, even though we know it in your word, give us that reassurance that you love us and that you care for us and you're listening to us. We're thankful, Lord, you never get tired of me praying the same prayer. I've got some prayers, Lord, that I've prayed hundreds and thousands of times, but I know, Lord, that you're always willing to answer, and it never gets old to you. And Lord, you've got the situation in your control, ready to work them out in your own due season. We praise you for the presence of God in this service today. In Jesus' name, amen. Learning to lean, I'm learning to lean on Jesus. I need more power than I've ever dreamed. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Sing it with us now. I'm learning to lean. Why don't you praise him? Learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. I need more power. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. I trust you're sensing the presence of God in our time of worship today. Do have your notepad and pencil ready in just a little while. My Heavenly Father watches over me. I trust in God wherever I may be, upon the land, out on the stormy sea. Let come what may, from day to day, Father watches over me. I trust in God. I know he cares for me on mountain peaks, out on the stormy we see. No billows roll, I know he will keep my soul. My heavenly Father watches over me. A friend that's always dear to me. He walks with me both night and day. He hears my prayers. He answers when I pray. Watches over me. I trust in God. I know he cares for me. On mountain peaks, out on the stormy sea, no billows roll, I know he will keep my soul. My heavenly Father watches over me. Oh, I like that chorus. I trust in God. I know he cares for me. On mountain peaks, out on the stormy sea, though billows roll, I know he will keep my soul. My heavenly Father watches over me. More promises, more assurances, more foundation, more firmness from the teachings of the Word of God. Thank you for worshiping with us. I think we're just going to go right into the next song and not interrupt the flow of the Spirit. If you will, be ready to take down the contact information at the end of the message, the Lord permitting. John the Revelator. Upon the Isle of Patmos, a man was cast one day. As he was left alone to die, he began to pray. The Holy Ghost fell on him, the Spirit that came down. He began to write about the things he saw. The Revelator's name was John. Talk about John.
John the Revelator saw Jerusalem coming down.
John the Revelator.
And when he looked around,
he saw feet like brass, eyes like fire, heard a great voice say, come up higher.
John the Revelator wrote about the city of God.
Hallelujah. While in the Spirit praying, John looked around to see if the voice he had heard was what it seemed to be. Just like many waters, a great trumpet sound. He said, I am the first and last. The Revelator wrote it down.
Talk about John. John the Revelator
saw Jerusalem coming down. Yes, it was John.
John the Revelator.
And when he looked around, he saw feet like brass, eyes like fire, heard a great voice saying, come up higher.
John the Revelator wrote about the city of God.
One more time, talk about John.
John the Revelator saw Jerusalem coming down.
Yes, it was John.
John the Revelator.
And when he looked around, he saw feet like brass, eyes like fire, heard a great voice saying, come up higher.
John the Revelator wrote about the city of God.
Hallelujah. Well, read the book of Revelation. You'll understand more about that song. In the book of St. John, chapter 6, verse 27, Jesus speaking here. Let's begin with verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed." Praise the Lord. How do we work for God effectively? You know, when we set out to do a task or we ever endeavor to do something, we want some results. We like to see fruits from our labor. And in order to do that, we have to do it effectively. To do something effectively means that we do it in such a manner as to achieve a desired result. You put your whole heart, soul, mind, spirit, body, and everything else you got into it, so you will achieve a desired result. You do it effectively. You do it intensely. You do it eagerly. You do it with enjoyment. You do it with interest. And you're doing it with God's approval. We must not only do it these ways, but we need to work with enthusiasm. You know, those who lack interest and fervor are ineffective in working for God. They give the impression that the gospel is not important. But we must work with divine inspiration. Zeal and enthusiasm bring results when we are presenting Christ to others. In Romans 12, we are taught not to be slothful, but we are taught to be fervent in spirit. Put your whole self into it to produce the results that you would like to produce. We have to do it earnestly. We have to do it sincerely. We have to do it intensely. And we have to do it with conviction. Do you see what I am telling you here? Jesus told us in Matthew 9:37 that the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. At our little mission church, sometimes we just have a few people. But by the help of the Lord, Sister Linda plays the piano like we've got 100 people there. And I try to preach, and she and I sing together along with other worshipers that have come. We try to worship the Lord if we've got 15 or 20, just like if we had 100 people or even more. I have two brothers that have already gone on to be with the Lord. But when we three boys were at home, my mom would prepare the meal. But if something happened and I was gone, or Dale was gone, or Daryl was gone, maybe to some kind of a school function, or for some reason we weren't there, my mother still cooked the meal, and the food was ready, even though one of us was missing. She did not let the absence of one child at a mealtime hinder her from preparing the meal for the rest of the family. Many Christians today are flippant. They're unconcerned. They fail to take their soul-winning responsibilities seriously. Just because the crowd is down, oftentimes people say, "Well, what's the use?" I was preaching at a church in Kansas one time, and the crowd was down that night, and one young man whose family was away on vacation said, "Well, there's no use to even go tonight. won't anybody be there? Well, I wondered if he was calling me a nobody because I was going to be there, and there were a few others that showed up. But just because his family was out of town for that weekend or that particular service, he felt like the use was all gone. And it's always great when all the family in the is there and the crowd is as good as it can be. But just remember, the Lord promised to be in our midst where two or three were gathered together in His name. So I try to sing with the same fervency and preach with the same fervency for just 10 or 15 or a few, however many we might have, or if the house is filled. Oh yes, it enthuses us when we see the house full, but it should enthuse us when someone comes. The Lord anticipated that our crowds would be small. We must recognize that the importance of winning the lost to Christ. Our soul is worth more than the world. What would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lost his own soul? Effective results will come with earnest soul winning, with earnest witnessing, with earnest inviting. You may invite 100 people to church and not one comes, but you may invite 100 people to church and one does come, but that one will make it worthwhile, because had you not invited them, had they not come, they might have not gotten saved and lost their soul. God help us today. He doesn't tell us how many souls we have to win to get into heaven, but He does expect us to be laborers in the field. Remember, we are not going to be rewarded according to our results. We are going to be rewarded according as our works shall be. Yes, we have to work with expectation. John 6:29 says, "This is the work of God, that you believe on Him when He hath sent, whom He hath sent." We have to work with expectation. We have to have that strong belief that something is going to happen, or that we are going to achieve something. Faith in God will move a mighty mountain, calm a troubled sea, make the desert like a fountain, and bring the victory. Some Christians lack faith when working for God. They do not expect results, and they do not receive them. I was helping a church a few years ago, and I said something about doing door-to-door visitation. This was in a large city near St. Louis. And one man in the church said, "Well, we're not doing that. We did that 20 years ago, and we never gained anybody from it." I said, "Do you realize that 20 years ago, different people lived in these houses and what lives in here now? Some have died. Some have moved out. Anyway, it was a completely different group of people, a group of people that had never been invited to church. He thought it was a burnt over field, but I want you to know there wasn't hardly anyone still living in that neighborhood that had lived there 20 years ago. Just because something did not happen then does not mean that it will not happen now. And if it doesn't happen the first time you go out on a visitation program, go after it again. Keep that expectation. Keep that strong belief. Keep that faith built up that something will happen and that you are going to achieve something. Oh, yes, we have to have a dauntless determination. Jesus said, "Come and follow me." Many people, you know, are incapable of being intimidated. Amen. They're incapable of being subdued. It seems like they were fearless and undaunted. Let's go forth in Jesus' name. I am Pastor Dennis Myers. Send any mail to the Power of Pentecost, Post Office Box 100, Mount Vernon, Illinois, 62864. You've been endued with power from on high, the power of Pentecost. Remember, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God.
Talk about John the Revelator.
Saw Jerusalem coming down. Talk about John
the Revelator.
And when he looked around, he saw feet like brass, eyes like fire. Heard a great voice saying, come up higher.